Great to be back. A lot of good friends here. Before we left, we asked the Assembly in Ontario to pray for us because we're going home. And I said, this is home too. So we got a letter from one of the elders saying, I'm so glad you are home, in quotes. So years ago, and I don't remember where it was here in Milwaukee, what speaker it was, but he was talking about finding diamonds in the Old Testament scriptures. You got to dig. And all of a sudden, this, in your own thinking, this diamond of a passage appears to you. And you just sort of sit back and say, what a pause. I find this little passage such a diamond. Moses has gone through a lot. The people of God were stiff-necked. Moses got angry, broke the tablets, tried to restore himself, get the people corrected. He must have been stressed out. In our lives with God, He wants to manifest Himself to us. Whatever the circumstances we're facing, He wants to manifest Himself to us. Dr. John Walton from Wheaton College said, if you read the Old Testament and do not see God in the passage, you've missed the point of the passage, no matter what the story is. This is such a passage. The Lord God is speaking to Moses. Now, Moses couldn't even rely on Aaron. You remember what Aaron did? He told all the, they wanted to make us a god, to take us out of this situation. And so Aaron got all the gold and melted it down, and he carved an image. But when Moses got down to talk to Aaron, he said, it wasn't my fault. The dust was there. I threw it in the fire, and out came this golden calf. I'm not to blame. So maybe you're looking for help and strength, but there's no one there. So God's going to speak to Moses in his state of anxiety, I'm sure. Cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. And I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. Now we have to be very honest with our relationship to the Lord God. We can fool a lot of people about our Christian experiences, but please, you're not going to fool God. We have to take responsibility for our actions, sometimes reminded of our shortcomings. One thing is certain, I find from this passage, God wants to reveal Himself to you. God wants to be a part of our lives. Now, I want you to come up, and He's up in a mountain. We'll get to that in a minute. Don't ever think, as once you become a believer and found salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, don't you ever think that God's not interested in you, or your situation, or your circumstances. You know, there's that passage in Revelation where He's knocking on the door. Things were bad, but He's knocking on the door. And, you know, eating is such an important part of the whole scripture context. I want to come in and sup with you, and you with me. We have to have that truth drilled into our minds, or we're going to be crushed by what takes place, what happens to us. So be ready in the morning. I don't know if you're a morning person. I am. I get up regularly at 5:30. Some people aren't morning people. It takes a long time to get conscious. Even though your job says you've got to get up at 7:30 or whatever, 7 o'clock, morning is a tough time for many of us. Well, when should we be alert to God's leading, to God's grace, to God's sovereignty? When we feel like it? So be ready in the morning. I don't hear Moses saying, oh, give me a break. I mean, I enjoy sleeping. By the way, I had the most delightful sleep last night. I slept 8.9 hours. That is the most sleep I've ever had in 30 years. It was great. There's something about that bedroom. Thanks, Fred Ruth, for that bedroom. My wife got 9.5 hours sleep. Praise God for good bedrooms. But get up. So be ready in the morning. Now every day we have responsibilities, all of us. We have things that we have to do, things we shouldn't have done, lessons to learn. But I think there's something wholesome, winsome about being ready to meet the day, being ready to meet the Lord. If you're ready, you're thinking, you're actively engaging in your spiritual life. We know the outward man is dying, but the inner man is being renewed day by day. So be ready. Whatever the circumstances are, some of them are going to be pretty tough. And I know there are some in this meeting who are suffering terribly with medical issues, some with social issues, some with family issues. We're dealing with a 34-year-old young woman who has social anxiety. We're trying to encourage her to come to where there's love in the assembly of God. She knows that. We meet with her. When the morning comes for her to go, she is petrified. She's terrified. I hope none of you are terrified to come to this chapel. We're glad you're here. Everyone looks forward to being together because we love the Lord. So he says to Moses, so be ready in the morning. And come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. Now, it's going to take some effort. I don't know. I've never been to Israel or any of these regions. I don't know how high the mountains are. I understand they're not really humongously high mountains, but they're high enough. So Moses is going to have to go back up the mountain to meet with God. Now, I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but that's not always going to be the case. That's not the case for those of us who are believers today. It's not going to be a strain to go up to a mountaintop to meet with God. But it was that case in this day. I want you to be ready I want you to come up. I want you to present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. Now, we talk when I was a teenager. We used to talk about mountaintop experiences with God. We'd go to camp or we'd go to a ministry meeting and we were, oh, wow, we were just inspired to live a godly life. And then reality hits and you go down the mountain like the disciples when they saw the Lord transfigured, they fell apart. But what if you didn't have to climb a mountain? What if God comes down to where you are? We'll see that in a minute. Keep that in mind. No man shall come up with you, and that no one may be seen throughout all the mountain, let neither flocks nor herds feed before that mountain. No one else around. I just want you and me up on that mountain. In the ministry of our Lord Jesus, sometimes he spent time in the mountain praying between himself and his Father. I think it's important. We have our families, we have our spouse, we have our community, we have our assembly, but I think it's important that every one of you, at least sometime during the month, has a personal encounter with the God you love. He has something special he wants to do with your life. Give him that opportunity to do that by spending time in his presence. You know, knowing God is probably the greatest blessing that we have as human beings. We don't take advantage of that. I know Moses went through a lot and God blessed his life, but he wants to meet with him. And there's a reason why he wants to meet with him. So what does Moses do? Well, he cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. And he rose up early in the morning. Now, he wasn't indifferent to what the Lord was saying to him. He was anxious. The Lord said, "Get do it in the morning," but Moses said, I can't wait. I can't wait to see him, even figuratively speaking. I want to meet with him. I want to be there with him. I enjoy his company. I enjoy him. Can we talk that way about God? Of course we can. But I want you to ask you, I want to think about this for a moment. Some of you may be doing this so much that this question won't mean much to you, but do you really desire to be with the Lord in his presence? Is that a desire of your heart? You might say, well, I'm going through a lot of pain. I just don't want to meet anyone. I don't want to be with the Lord. I just pity myself. Well, I don't want you to be in that pain, but I'm trying to get you to think about this Christian experience that we enjoy as believers. Are they just words on a page of the Bible? Are they just thoughts? But is it a reality? And I like the attitude of Moses here. He rose early in the morning and went up the Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. And he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. You know, the Bible puts things in such a simple way. There's a lot going on here. But it just says it as it is. He got up early in the morning, and he went up to the mountain as the Lord had commanded him, didn't miss a beat, wasn't indifferent, didn't want to change it. trouble with it. Adam and Eve, or Eve, Satan tried to put this in her mind. Did God really say what he said? No, he was clear. He was going to do what God wanted him to do. See what happens. He took with him now, remember now, these tablets, they're empty. There's nothing on them. He's going to stand in the presence of God. Now, he was there, but he broke the tablets because of his anger. And he couldn't do what God wanted him to do because of his anger. Well, you see, well, it shows that he had a real love for God, but he broke the tablets. So I can imagine going up the mountain with these empty tablets. I don't know what he was thinking, but what a dumb bunny you are. Why in the world did you break those tablets? Well, God has something special. Trouble is, if we dwell on our mistakes, then we're going to come to God in fear. I don't see any fear in Moses here. He's doing what God wants him to do. He's following orders. So now we get the encounter. Now the Lord descended in the Shekinah, in the cloud, and stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. I'm not a dramatist. This is beautiful. We have to have beautiful moments in our lives as believers. We were trying to tell this woman who has social anxiety. We said to her, look, maybe you don't feel like doing something, but do it out of duty to God. Because dutiful will become beautiful. You might get up in the morning and say, I'm not going to go to the chapel this morning. Do it! Because our feelings change. And here is this man of God on the mountain, God descending into his presence. And he stood there with Moses. In all of our lives, the happy moments, the creative moments, the sad moments, I like to be standing there with God. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to be standing with God in the moments of your life and not standing alone and not be governed by fear? Oh, maybe I did something wrong. You know, we have a beautiful meeting. We just accomplished the meeting, the breaking of bread meeting. We came to meet with our Lord God the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ through the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Trinity was there. And why did we come? There's nothing greater, I believe, that we can express than worship to this wonderful God who loves us. And through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, saved our souls forever. His. And proclaimed the name of the Lord. In your walk with the Lord, we say many things. A lot of our life is spent in asking God for things and praying and confessing sin and looking at our shortcomings. But there are moments, don't you find, where you proclaim the name of the Lord to the Lord? We have a precious time at the breaking of bread. We're there to remember the Lord Jesus in his human life. Especially when it regards our salvation. We've come to know the Lord Jesus by proclaiming to him who he is. The wonderful thing about worship is we don't go in to get something from him. Oh, I like the breaking of bread because it improves my walk with the Lord. No! What? I like the breaking of bread because it gives me an opportunity to proclaim his name, to honor his person, to lift up his character, to see the beauty of his work. It's all about him. That's why I think it says in Scripture, judge yourself and then eat. Take care of all the business of nonsense and sin before you come to the table so that you can be free to proclaim his name. And now we have one of the great precious diamonds of Scripture in verse 6. This is coming from God himself about himself. Now the Lord God is describing to Moses who he, the Lord God, is. And one writer commenting on this passage says, this is the greatest self-description in the Old Testament of God, right here in this lovely passage. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions of sins, by no means clearing the guilty. Now here we are, reading a text that's thousands of years old, proclaiming the name of the Lord. How do we react to it? How did Moses react to it? He's sovereign. He's engaged in our lives. He makes himself known. He manifests himself to this man. I want to get to the New Testament. Merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. Turn with me to John chapter 1. Just go back to verse 9 so I can get this link. Here's how he responds to what the Lord God says about himself. Then he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. Go among us. John chapter 1, verse 14. We don't know. We can't know, really, how the Spirit of God worked in the lives of these writers. What references John wanted us to think about. But I can't help but think myself that John, the writer, had this Exodus 34 in mind. I can't prove any of this. Just a thought in my brain. He starts his gospel with the Word was with God, ho theos, and the Word was the same as ho theos, only it was his essence, theos. And this Word, who was Yahweh, as the Father was Yahweh in chapter 40, at the 34 of Exodus, this Word united in oneness is going to do exactly what Moses wanted the Lord God on the mountain to do. Come among us. We don't have to go to the mountain and reach up. We can reach out because the one who is Yahweh has become flesh. And we, notice the difference. In the Old Testament passage, it's only Moses who sees the glory of Yahweh. And now God has come down to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, equal with the Father. He becomes flesh. He tabernacles amongst us. And we beheld, we beheld his Shekinah, his glory. And that glory was now in human form, manifested through the person, character, and work of Jesus Christ. The only begotten of the Father, now full of grace and truth, full of goodness and truth. That's the same thing that was said of Yahweh on the mountain with Moses. It's now being said by the disciples who saw the Lord Jesus. And they saw that this was God manifested in the flesh. What do men say about I am? Oh, you're this and that and the other thing. And what does Peter say? You are the Christ, the Son of God. And for the Jew, claiming to be the Son of God meant equality with God. So we have a breaking of bread. We come to honor and worship Yahweh. And lo and behold, we are transformed. The more we spend in the presence of God, whether it's at the breaking of bread, whether it's at home, Bible study, whether it's by yourself, we're transformed. We didn't go there to be transformed, but we can't help ourselves. We honor him. We uplift his name. We see his grace. We see his glory. We're stunned. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He came down from the mountain. John the Baptist was preaching Christ in this chapter. And he says, behold the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. His disciples followed Jesus. where do you live? And he says to them, come and see. Now, in all of our trials, in all of our tribulation, all of our consternations, the answer for the human person is to go and see the glory of God as it's revealed in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. If you're here today and you're still not a believer in the Lord Jesus, you're missing the greatest relationship you'll ever experience in life. And beyond that, you will be missing a relationship that will last forever. Your life will be built on the foundation of his death on the cross for your sins. There will be an excitement and joy and a majesty because you will have seen his glory. The glory as of the only begotten. Now there's a difference, there's a theological debate. Most of the modern theologians say the only begotten God, full of grace and truth. And you will have a sense of goodness and of peace that you can get nowhere else in this existence, on this planet, in this time framework. He was there with Moses on the mount. He's here with us in the incarnation of Christ. What a great joy we have as believers to see his majesty. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for such a Savior, such a Lord. You want to manifest yourself to us so that our lives will be full and meaningful, purposeful. You call us to yourself. You rap on our heart's door. You want us to enjoy who you are. And in spite of our difficulties, in spite of our pain and our suffering, you will meet our every expectation and every desire. We thank you, Father, for yourself, for sending your Son, for the strength of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the life that we enjoy as believers and the eternity that we're looking forward to. We thank you for his promise when he said to his disciples, I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. We thank you for the assurance you gave that thief on the cross. Today you will be with me in paradise. Oh, what a life this is. And we thank you for it, our Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus. Amen.